Praise the Lord, church. Let's all stand. How many of you are thankful to be in the house of the Lord today? I wonder if you would just bless His name right now. We thank You, Lord. We praise Your holy name, Jesus.
One people lifting one voice. You're worthy of the glory, You're worthy of the honor, You're worthy of the praise. We will shout and proclaim the greatness of Your holy name. You're worthy of glory, worthy of honor, and worthy of praise. Hey, You are.
You
stand against your might. You've always been with us. Every battle you've already won, we've already won.
There is no weapon that has ever left a mark on you. And there is no army
with the power
to conquer truth. You've always been with us. Disappointment and break every chain.
Let's give him one more hand clap of praise. Come on, let's give him our best today. Let's give him our best this morning. How many love what they feel in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. Smile at someone and say, it's good to see you at Turning Point. Amen, amen. Just a few announcements before we go into another form of worship. Today, after service, they are having a walking taco fundraiser. That'll be $5, so make sure you stop out on your way and get a walking taco. So, Tuesday, the 65 and older group, that is canceled. So, 65 and older group, that will be canceled due to weather. And to the parents of the students going to NAYC, the first payment is due by the end of January. Just a reminder. And Kingdom Connectors kickoff is going to be 5:30 at the Seawaters House. That is going to be January 31st. Amen. How many are excited about all God is doing? Amen. We can have the ushers come to the front at this time. Why don't we just lift our voices as we pray? And why don't we lift our hands? This is another form of worship. And let's go before the Lord. Lord, we know that you're in this place. Thank you for your sweet presence, Jesus. Help me to connect with you, God. Help me to push away all the distractions, all the things that's happened throughout the week, God. Allow me to make you the main thing today, God. In the name that is above every name, in the name of Jesus. Come and give unto the Lord. Shake someone's hand. Let them know you're happy to see them here at Turning Point Church.
How many of you are thankful for the goodness of God today in this house? Lord, I pray, Lord, that we just lift our hands to sing him his praises today. Lord, I give you thanks. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. I've been held in your hands from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. have been faithful. How many can testify to that today? In all my life, you have been so, so good. Hey, with every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Hallelujah. Somebody just praise Him right now. All my life you've been faithful. All my life you've been good to me. En mi vida ha sido bueno. En mi vida ha sido tan, tan bien. Con mi ser, con cada diento, yo cantaré de la bondad de Dios. All my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus.
Think back to those times when God was good. Sometimes we have to wait on those good moments, but it's worth the wait. There's things I've been praying for, and I haven't seen them yet, but I know they're coming, and I'm going to wait on Him. No matter what it is that you're waiting on today, wait on Him. He is faithful. He is good. He is so, so very good.
Provided, how you helped me.
see my daughter come home. I will see him provide for my needs. He's always on time. That bank account might not look like it right now, but he's on time. It's coming. It's coming. You just have to wait. You just have to wait. Hold on. He's coming. Oh, never been a day, never been a minute, never been a moment that you weren't in it. There's never been a time that you didn't see me through, God. I worship you. There's never been a day, never been a minute, never been a moment that you weren't in it. There's never been a time that you didn't see me through, God. So I'll worship you. There's never been a day, never been a minute, never been a moment that you weren't in it. There's never been a time that you didn't see me through, God. So I worship you. There's never been a day, never been a minute, never been a moment that you weren't in it. There's never been a time that you didn't see me through, God. So I worship you.
Worship in the house right now, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Oh,
God, we're singing. He's an on-time God. He's never failed. He's never failed me. Hallelujah. Somebody just worship the name right now. Somebody just worship the name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
There's nothing like God's timing in our situations. Amen. He is always on. And I'm thankful for that this morning. Let's give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. As we make our ways back to our seat, I'm thankful to have a church where you can feel His presence. Amen. We are in a Spirit-led, Spirit-filled church, and I'm thankful for that. And amen. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. And I'm just going to kind of jog this morning. Is that all right? My jog might be a light, brisk walk for most of you, but we're just going to kind of jog this morning. Amen. 1 Peter, or 2 Peter, chapter 1, starting with verse 20 through 21. It says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture comes from one's own interpretation, for no such prophecy was ever brought forth by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Smile at someone, and you may be seated for those that stood. Amen. This morning I give honor to Pastor and his family. Amen. We are a blessed church. Amen. Grateful to have Sister Valerie's family with us today. Amen. And I'm thankful for my beautiful wife and my darling daughters. Amen. I'm truly blessed. Are you going to help me today? Amen. The year was 1787 in a state house which is called the Independence Hall. There was a convention being held where 12 of the 13 states at that time would gather together over the next 116 days. Talk about a long work meeting, amen. It is recorded in a book called If You Can Keep It, that during this time, the men that gathered in that building would begin to discuss and begin to write a document that we still call to this day the Constitution. And although there are a lot of things that we could talk about regarding this and regarding this meeting and convention, but this morning I would like to key in on a small but historical encounter that would take place. It was nearing the end of the long and extended convention when a man by the name of Dr. James McHenry would witness a small encounter that only he could tell. Dr. James McHenry was a delegate from the state of Maryland. He was one of the youngest delegates to participate at the age of 34. He served in the Revolutionary War, and he also served as the United States Secretary of War. But the one thing that he is most remembered for today is the fact that he kept daily notes of what was happening around him during that time. And so it was during this convention that he would put his pen to his notepad and write down a historical encounter. The young Dr. James McHenry writes that when Benjamin Franklin left the building on one of the last days, he writes that a woman by the name of Mrs. Powell would confront Benjamin Franklin. She met him in his path and asked him this question, and I quote, she said to Franklin, "Well, doctor, what have we got?" She had that good English, you know. "A republic or a monarchy?" Seems like a pretty important question to ask, amen? His response to her question was, "A republic. A republic." But then the doctor writes down what Franklin said next. Franklin stated these important words. He said, "If you can keep it. If you can keep it." One more time this morning, why don't we lift up our voice and why don't we pray this morning? Lord, we come before you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord, you are the author and the finisher of our faith. Let your word be clear. Let your word be true. We come against any false narratives this morning that try to creep in. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Let there be order. Let there be a covering. Let your word be yours and not mine. And everybody said in the name of Jesus. I believe it's safe to say that we live in a time and in a day where good is called evil and evil is called good. Amen. It seems like it's almost a cliche to say that because of how true it is. It seems like the margins or the parameters are getting smaller. We live in a world that is constantly consumed with self. The culture promotes no boundaries. And in a time where the dividing lines that used to hold seem to be constantly pressed against. I mean, anything that promotes structure or anything that represents godly morals is usually quickly undermined and underplayed. Amen. We know that there is a mindset out there that tells us as long as we feel a certain way, then it must be right. Amen. As long as it makes sense to me, then it must be true. We should follow our hearts. We've all heard this. In fact, society, our society has perfected this very thing. And even today, there are so many voices out there. Amen. There are so many distractions speaking. It's 24/7 nonstop to the generations around us. They are pulling for our hearts and they are pulling for our minds. Amen. They want to write their interpretation. They want to write their view on our lives. They want to write down how they see things and what they think it's true. You can just about turn on any YouTube channel, website, and find crazy just speaking. They'll claim to have the answers and insight. Amen. We've all seen it. They want to give us their interpretation. They want to give us a word based on a moment. And it's quite simple that they do want to speak, but they want to speak on their behalf. They want to take the pen and they want to take their narrative to the story to benefit themselves. I have scripture today, but before we get too far, I want to stop and quickly let us know that nobody can write the story like our God. Amen. I want to quickly let us know. I want to take a sidestep right here and tell us that nobody can write the story like our God. Nobody can put the pen to the paper like our God. You might think all is lost. You might think the story is finished. But when our God begins to redraft the story, there's no telling what could happen. Amen. It may seem one way, but I can say the Bible says that all scripture is God-breathed and useful. Amen. Useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. We have the inspired word of God. there are many writers, but there is only one author? How many are thankful that there is no private interpretation? Amen. It is not up for debate. He said it, and he will do it. I said, he said it, and he will do it. He doesn't change after 10 years. He doesn't negate the fact that he said it. He doesn't change after 10 years, 20 years. The Bible says that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Is there anyone here today that says there's nothing like this truth? Come on, is there anybody here that says there's nothing like this truth? This is the greatest message, amen. I said this is the greatest message. We have it. We have it. It can't be duplicated. It can't be forged. It is the thing that guards us. And it is the thing that keeps us. Look at someone and tell them, we need his word. We need his word. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 through 10 says this. Therefore, just as you accept Christ Jesus as your Lord, so walk in him. Man, we have to walk in this. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of this world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of the deity dwells bodily, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. The fact is, if we do not guard this, and if we do not keep this, it can be ever so easy to get disoriented and lost amongst the voices of our day. It can. Voices that say you don't have to do all that. Voices that say you don't need any of them. Voices that say I'm doing this my way. And the boundaries that were once set in our lives begin to fade to fables and myths. I've seen it in my own life. Is this okay this morning? Paul would write to his son in the faith, Timothy, warning him of what things would look like in the last days. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5 says, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with deceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying the power. Avoid such people. He would later write in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 3 through 4, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teachings, but having itching ears, they will accumulate themselves teachers to suit their own passions and turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. This has happened and it is still happening today. Amen. But on this Sunday morning, I would simply like to remind us of what Proverbs 23:23 says. It says to buy the truth and sell it not. Come on, it says to buy the truth and sell it not. I'm in a Pentecostal church, and I wonder if there's anybody here that says, I'm going to buy this truth and I'm going to sell it not. I don't know about you, but I feel something right here. So we're going to just stop and we're going to pray. Because I don't know who's been dealing with this. I don't know who's been struggling, but we're going to pray right now that we're going to buy this truth and sell it not. Come on, let's lift up our voice right now. In the name of Jesus. Lord, help me to hear your word. Let your truth be the dividing factor in my life. Let it be the place where we walk, Jesus. I need to buy this truth. Help me not to bargain it for something temporal, Jesus. Lord, we need your word more than we've ever needed it, Jesus. I need your voice in my life, Jesus. I need your voice in my life, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we need to buy this truth and sell it not. Reminded of what Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 says. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has to buy that field. Church, we have to get to a place where it doesn't matter the cost. We have to get to a place where it doesn't matter what the field looks like. The Bible says that with joy, he got rid of things in order to hold this truth. We've got to get to a place where it doesn't matter what this world says. It doesn't matter what my family says. Doesn't matter who leaves. It doesn't matter what my parents say. Come on, we got to hold this truth for ourselves. We've got to be intentional about it. Come on, I can't ask the next generation to be faithful or to be sold out to something that I myself am not sold out to. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 39, for the promise is unto you and your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The Lord has entrusted each and every one of us with this truth. It is up to us whether we guard it, whether we protect what God has given us. We're not trying to be overzealous. We're not trying to be ridiculous about it. We're not going to sit there with our spiritual radar waiting for somebody to mess up. Amen. It's not the kind of guarding I'm talking about. But in 1 Timothy chapter 6, 20 through 21, it says, "Oh, Timothy, guard and keep safe the deposit of godly truth entrusted to you. Turn away from worldly and godless chatter with its profane and empty words and the contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed by doing so have erred and missed the mark and strayed from the faith." You see, Paul was telling Timothy to guard what was entrusted to him. Avoid certain things. Don't swerve away from it. He was telling him to keep it. Don't back away from it. Don't allow the voices of this world to affect what God is doing. Don't allow the world's interpretation to speak for God. Amen. How many are thankful that the word doesn't change? Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap for that. I'm thankful that his word does not change. We can find it in 1 Chronicles chapter 11, 13 and 14, and also in 2 Samuel 23, 11 through 12. It says this in 2 Samuel. "And after him was Shammah, son of Agi, the Hararite. When the Philistines banded together near the field full of lentils, Israel fled from them, but Shammah took his stand in the middle of the field, defended and struck down the Philistines. So the Lord brought a great victory." The key statement there is the Lord brought a great victory. The fields were planted. The harvest was ready. And the Israelites were anticipating a great harvest. They understood how important this was to their families. Their survival was in those fields. And the Bible says that the Philistines would gather near the edge of the field. They pressed in on their boundaries. It was a constant pressing. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Constant pressing by the Philistines that they would keep on the people of God, hoping to wear them out. Bear with me for a moment. It wasn't the first time that they had taken from their fields. This wasn't the first time that they had crept in on the borders of their fields. This wasn't the first time they had to deal with the Philistines. No, seemed to be a yearly occurrence. It almost seemed like clockwork. Every time the people of God would get close to the season of harvest, every time they stepped into their fields, they would ponder in their minds if the Philistines would come and steal from their fields. They would have to look over and see the enemy gathered over near the edge of their fields every day. I mean, without fail, the Philistines would come in and take what they wanted, leaving no regard for the ones that tended to the fields and the ones that sowed the seed. Amen. It was like the Philistines had an appointment. They walked in like they owned the place, kind of like my kids. They would cross over into their fields and they would take what they wanted. Over time, it just became a way of life for them. I'm sure of it. And I can't tell you why the Israelites left the field open to the enemy. I can't tell you why they didn't protect what was theirs. But what I find interesting about this was that when the Philistines came this time, when the Philistines crossed over into their fields this time, there would be one man standing in the center of that field ready to fight. I find this encouraging this morning, that when everyone else decided to run off and hide, and when everyone else decided the field was not worth fighting for, that one man stood in the middle of that field and said, "This may not be important to them, and this may not be important to those around me, but I'm going to keep this field. I'm going to keep this field. This field may be just barley and peas to them, and it may not mean anything to my family, and it may not mean anything to my coworkers, but I'm going to stand in the middle of this field, and I'm going to protect it." Come on, while others were backing away, when others were finding themselves going in another direction, he said, "I'm going to stand on truth. And I'm going to allow him to fight for me." Come on, it's time to stand. I want to tell us it's time to stand. We're living in a world that has interpretations of everything. But I want what his word has. I'm going to stand for my family. I'm going to stand for truth even when it doesn't seem popular. In this battle that we're fighting, it's not over peas and lentils, amen? This battle ain't over peas as much as it is allowing his word to bring peace. Allowing his word to bring strength. Allowing his word to bring salvation, true restoration and healing, growth, amen? Structure, stability that will last. Find it amazing that while everybody else decided to take some steps back and allow the Philistines to run free in their fields, one person decided that I'm going to stand for the generations coming after me. I'm going to hold this truth. I don't care what I lose. I don't care if I even lose. I'm going to stand. And the Bible says that the Lord brought a great victory. One person decided, you're not going to touch this field. I feel something this morning. I know I'm kind of jogging and I'm not good at jogging. But I feel something this morning. I really do. I feel like there's a shift and there's been a shifting. And I want to remind somebody this morning that whatever season of life you're in and whatever your field looks like, do whatever it takes to guard it. Do whatever it takes to make this a priority in your life. Do whatever it takes to make sure that this world does not press in on your field. Do whatever it takes. I have more, but I'm just going to stop right here. I don't need to add anything else to this story. We could have the musicians at this time. And if we could stand. I was reminded of a preacher that I know of. I don't know him. But he's in his 70s now, and he's still evangelizing actually around the world. He still goes around the world and evangelizes. And he talks about his childhood, how he grew up. It was a different time back then than it is now. He tells the story of his father. He said that his father wasn't a preacher. He said his father never preached a message in his life. He said, in fact, his father was a mechanic and a good one. He says that his dad came home from war. He had a vision at work. He says he left work, called the preacher, got baptized and received the Holy Ghost. Never went back to his old ways. Just a mechanic. Says his dad would come home after work. Tells the story a lot better, but says how his father would sit at the table and teach him, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." Said that his dad would live it every single day. Not knowing that his children would grow up and be involved in ministry. Not knowing what he was doing for the generations coming after him. I mean, his dad didn't grow up in this. He didn't, never sang a song. He never taught. But the one thing he did was he made sure he didn't leave it up to chance. He made sure that he didn't leave it up for chance. I'm not saying we have to do it this way. I'm not saying this is the only way to do it. I have to do this myself. Amen. But as I began to think about this, every time that man gathered them around his table, he was protecting his field. Every time he got a chance, he was protecting what God had given him. And I know life happens. I know we can't control everything. But what we can control is we can make sure that the fields around us don't have anything creeping into them. Don't have any interpretation other than what the Word of God says. What that man was doing was he was making sure the fields were clean. He was making sure the borders were protected. And whatever that may look like for you today, whatever everything else is saying to you, we need to make sure that God is speaking. I just feel like God is pushing some things out, amen. And he's wanting to talk with each and every one of us. You might not have had a father to raise you in this. You might not have had the best of life. But I want to tell you, there's a Heavenly Father that wants to speak to you. There's a Heavenly Father that wants to come around next to you. And there's a love. Come on. I didn't come into this, but I knew that when I came to this church, I felt a love that I've never felt. And there might have been struggles, but I kept letting that love just wrap itself around me. I want to remind us that the field matters. Come on, you're not fighting for no reason. I said you're not fighting for no reason. But God is getting ready to fight for you. God wants to speak to us. So if you're able, if you're willing, to step out from where you are and come forward. In the name of Jesus, God, let us flow in you. Give room for you to speak. I want you to speak, God. In the name of Jesus.
Love to me, Lord, I crave a love that's more than emotion, deep in my commitment to you. I give you total devotion. Show yourself to me, Lord, I crave a love that's more than emotion, deep in my commitment to you. I give you total devotion. I'll buy this truth and I won't sell it. I choose this truth above all.
Somebody to pray with right now. To walk with you. He wants to show you new paths. Come on, there's generations after us.
Right.
What we do today matters.
Right.
What we do today matters. Let's just lift our hands one more time. Maybe grab the hand and neck of the person next to you. Lift it in the air. Because nothing matters more than this truth.
Right.
It's what has the revelation, what has healing, true restoration, amen. Not something interpreted. It's the thing that has stability in our lives. It's the thing that will build structure in our families. To see them here at Turning Point Church. Wednesday night, 6:30 prayer, 7 o'clock Bible study. Keep prayer for Pastor as he's enjoying his time over the anniversary weekend. If you see somebody that needs, that's still praying or still seeking, pray with them. You are dismissed. Jesus.